Welcome to the Private Practice Made Perfect podcast with me, Kathy Love. I'm a business coach who helps allied health professionals run powerful and profitable businesses in the disability sector. Join me for cutting-edge interviews with leaders in the allied health and business fields, along with plenty of practical content that you can use to make your business practice perfect. Hello, lucky for me, lucky for all of us, my guest on the podcast today is Damien Adler. And Damien's the co-founder of Power Diary, and he's also an Australian psychologist. Welcome aboard.
Thank you, Kathy. It's great to be on your show. I've listened to lots of your episodes over time, so it's actually great to be on this end of your podcast.
Creating your bit of history on here.
Exactly.
So you started life as a psychologist. Why Power Diary as well? Wasn't psychology enough?
I think certainly running a practice is definitely a full-time job. But in fact, that's actually what sort of an organic transition, if you like, into this space. So my wife and I started a private psychology practice a number of years ago. And right from the start, we had ideas about how we wanted it to run. So we wanted to be able to use external reception services, and we wanted people to be able to log into the system from home and do work from home as well. And we wanted to grow it. And then we kind of found it very challenging to find a system that could actually do those things. So a hub, if you like, or any kind of practice management system that could perform those functions that we felt comfortable with. And so that kind of is where our kind of initial search began. And we eventually did find a system that was sort of very basic, but had kind of the right idea. And we started out as customers of this. After a while of using it, we could see that there was so much capacity for this system to grow and to be improved. And we were sort of getting frustrated, really, because our practice was growing, and we could sort of see these pain points about managing practices and some of the growing pains. And we just realized that there was no system at that time that was really addressing those things. And so we weren't getting the development responses that we would have liked from the company that owned this very early version of the software. So in the end, we actually partnered with my brother, who has a very strong IT background, and he had just sold his last IT business to Telstra. So he had a very large operation, and Telstra had bought that. So I knew he was sort of available, and I pitched this idea to him of buying this system.
Over Christmas lunch or something, was it? Was there wine involved?
There was no
birthday.
Exactly. I think you need that kind of, you need a really strong technology background, which is not, my area, but I had the sort of the psychology and the health management side, or some insight into that. And so I thought, for this really to work, we need both of those two components. And that's how it all started. So we bought this program. It was very, very basic. It had a tiny number of customers. And from there, we essentially just rebuilt it from the ground up. So we, over time, just went, we'll rebuild it, redesign it. And over the years, it's just grown and grown and grown. And now, of course, we operate in lots of different countries. Australia is still our largest customer base, but it's just taken off. But it's been a number of years. So it's been about since about 2008. So it has taken time to grow and develop, but it's well and truly surpassed any expectations we ever had.
Nice. What does Power Diary look like nowadays? Someone signs up and opens the box.
The way that we've set it up, so they sign up, they get a free trial. So it's sort of the way many programs operate, is to give people an opportunity to actually test it out. And so basically start a free trial, and then straight away a fully activated, fully functional account is created. So from that account, you can actually send live SMS messages, you can process credit cards, you can link it up to Medicare, you can process DVA claims, you can do everything. So we don't sort of restrict it or keep it back.
Ooh,
we just
put it out there. That's generous.
Well, it's funny, people have even like contacted us sort of with well-meaning intent and said, oh, it's, you know, what you're doing, you know, people could misuse your SMSs or they could do, you know, we're like, no, like you just put it out there and let people actually use it and take it for a proper test drive so they can really sort of make a good decision around it. And then the other thing that we kind of do along these lines, which people still tell us, you know, from the kind of marketing world, they just can't believe it, but what we did is we decided if we were asking people to you know, trust us with their health information, trust us in their decision, you know, to that we were the right choice for them, that we should kind of put our money where our mouth is. And so we initially and trialed this guarantee where we thought, what happens if we give people a full year to decide if PowerDiary is right for them? So what if we kind of said, you know, we don't have any contracts or lock-in things anyway, but what if we said, look, anytime in the first year you're not happy or you think it's not the right system, you can cancel your account. We'll refund you everything that you've paid us, SMS, message, subscription, the whole lot, right? And we sort of thought, gee, I wonder how this will go. Like, to be honest, we thought we'll test it out and see. And we tried it on like a small scale because this was in the very early days and, you know, we're still building the product. Now, that was 7 years ago or something, and we still have that open to every single person that signs up that they, if they think in any way like it's not the right system, a way that, you know, they can cancel their account and we refund everything. In fact, we refund and then ask the question about, oh, what can we learn or what can we do so that, you know, people have that. It's fortunately, I can say, people don't seem to take that up very much, which is a good thing. But yeah, it's been a fun journey.
Yeah. What makes PowerDiary a bit different from others that are available?
Yeah, it's a good question, and I think it goes, you know, back to the sort of heart and soul of kind of what drives us. And so right from the start, we've really had this idea of by clinicians for clinicians. And so rather than, you know, sometimes in the software world, you kind of get, you know, maybe very talented and very good software developers, but they're outside of the industry and they kind of peer into a space where they think, oh, I can, you know, there's an opportunity here and we'll develop something. But it often lacks that kind of insider knowledge and that insider just day-to-day experience of knowing what it's like running practices, and that, you know, things that might seem minor to someone outside of the industry, you know yourself and from, you know, friends and colleagues and so forth, that, you know, some of these small things or that might seem small make such a big difference day to day. So right from the sort of start of that, we really kind of have got that that approach, and we sort of we build in, for instance, the customer feedback, what people, and we, you know, we have this amazing tracking system that every time someone mentions like a feature or an idea, we track it. We track exactly how many times people might ask for it, what sort of functional difference it will do in terms of helping their business. And we have this whole system to track where that demand is, what people are asking for, and then prioritize our development to kind of match that roadmap so that we're sort of really, it's kind of like the clinician voices and our customer voices sort of, you know, coming through. Ultimately though, we kind of have this belief around practice management. It's kind of like a philosophy, you know, if you like, about, you know, what's reasonable to expect for, you know, if you're running a practice, what is a healthy kind of approach to running practices? So we kind of break it down to these roughly six things, which is not to say this encompasses everything, but it kind of drives our thinking. The first one, we think like practices, first of all, of course, should be able to, you know, achieve great clinical outcomes. That kind of goes without saying. People get into the business because they want to achieve great things for clients. But beyond that, for the clinician and for the practice owner, we think that number two is they should do as little administration as possible. Right?
Yeah, as soon as possible.
As soon as possible, as little as possible, and as automate as much of it as you can. Because,
or delegate, gosh.
Oh, absolutely. The growing trend, and when we look at and we sort of analyze the trajectory of healthcare, is that it's getting more complicated. There's more regulations, more oversight, more different funding bodies, requirements and so forth that come into the picture. And there's lots of good reasons for that. A lot of it is actually helpful and I think underpins quality care provision. But for clinicians or for practice owners, this just adds more and more complexity and sort of non-clinical work that they have to do. So number two is just do as little admin as you possibly can, yep, whilst, of course, adhering to all the required safety standards and professional standards. Number three, we think like that you should be financially rewarded and well rewarded for your work. And that shouldn't be a sort of out there concept, right?
But I don't even know why we're smiling and laughing. It's just such a faceplant moment.
Isn't it?
And work is not yet done. Neither's yours.
No, exactly. It shouldn't be a faceplant moment, but it is, you know. And the way that we look at it, and you know, I guess the from a clinician point of view, and you know, the amount of training, you know, that clinicians do to get to the point that they can practice, mm-hmm, let alone, you know, operate in private practice, the responsibility that they have, the care that they take, the emotional toll that it can imply, and all the different bodies and agencies that they have to kind of be mindful of and comply with, it's a job that is, takes a lot of resources and there's sacrifices involved in that. And so we have this sort of outrageous idea that people should get paid well,
Totally outrageous.
I know, isn't it?
But extreme. I don't know, like you probably talk, I'm sure you talk to a lot of business owners, but I get a sense sometimes, so we're digressing now, just make sure we come back to the last three values,
yeah,
sure. We'll just make sure we get there. But I get a sense that a lot of business owners don't think they're worthy of it.
Yeah, I think that is spot on, that sometimes it's almost like as an industry, sometimes we have a self-esteem problem, somehow kind of don't hold ourselves confidently enough, you know, to say, you know, that what I do is important, it's skilled, it takes a lot of training, and that it's reasonable that I get, you know, paid well for this. And I remember once I was doing an interview as a clinician, this is years ago, but a newspaper was interviewing me about suicide rates and whatnot. And, when that interview went online, I was sort of flabbergasted at some of the comments that, you know, that people made. So there's lots of lovely and helpful comments, but then there was also some comments about that healthcare, why were they interviewing a private practitioner? You know, private practitioners are looking to make money and, you know, looking to, you know, they had this really kind of weird thing. I thought, wow, some of this thinking, can sometimes get into, clinicians' minds or into practice owners' minds, and they're not think about it in a way to say, you know what, I deserve to be rewarded financially for this. And in fact, my argument is that when clinicians and when practices are doing very well financially, they actually provide better services. You know, they're actually in a better headspace to sit there and to be in the moment and to, you know, focus on the clients that they're servicing because they're not worried about financial matters or other pressures. So that's where this concept comes from, and but it's something that we, you know, when we look at Powerdiary and making sure that we keep the system affordable, make sure that we, every time we do something, we kind of ask ourselves the question, is this going to make life easier for people? Is it going to make it more financially rewarding, if you like, for our customers to be able to use these features or to be able to do something that helps them in that way?
Yeah.
The next philosophy, if you like, that kind of drives what we do is the idea that practice owners should be able to grow their practice if they want to. Right, and that's not necessarily the right thing for every practitioner, you know, because for some people, it's very much like a personal and professional kind of decision about whether they want to grow and expand their practice or whether they want to focus on the being a great clinician side and not worrying about what other people in their team are doing and managing a team and so forth. But sort of our argument is that you should be able to if you want to. And sometimes people don't know when they kind of set out on their private practice journey which way they want to go. They have to sort of get in and, you know, experience it and get a feel for it. But the idea and the way that we think about it is that if you start with a system that can operate at scale, it doesn't matter if you've got one practitioner and it's just yourself, and we have a what we call the just me plan, right? Because we have, you know, people...
Solo heroes.
Exactly, yes, I like that term. You know, that system for that one practitioner is still going to work fantastically well because it means they're not spending their time on admin or having to employ often reception services and things because the system will take care of nearly everything. But if they want to, then it's very easy to scale up. It's a matter of adding another user in who's a clinician, and away you go. The system's there, the infrastructure is there, and they can scale and grow effortlessly if that's something that they're interested in. And
I noticed that you had a comment on the website about businesses will never grow out of it, and then it just keeps expanding and supporting, and you could keep adding on and optimizing features, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, we've had some businesses that started out with us, you know, they might have had two or three clinicians, and they would have 80 or 90 clinicians operating now because they've just grown, you know, over time. And and it's, you know, just wonderful to see because you kind of remember the early days for that, you know, for those companies where they're first sort of starting out and what they were thinking. And then to see that, you know, they might have been with us for 6 or 7 years and just grow and grow and grow. You know, it's really, it's you know, rewarding obviously on a professional level, but also personally, you know, you just think, you know, that's fantastic. And of course, the greater impact being that more health services are being delivered to more people more efficiently, you know, which you know, I think is wonderful. The fifth thing that is kind of we get excited about, and it's something that people don't often think about early on, but is that they are building an asset that actually has residual value. And what I mean, you know, by that is that often as clinicians we can get in that sort of frame of mind that the, you know, that we're putting in the work, we get sort of paid per session or per activity that we perform, but not think any sort of more broadly than that. But where there is a system in place that operates the practice and that, you know, is central for everything, it means that kind of anyone could operate that. So, of course, they need to have clinical skills and the right attitude, but it means it's not sort of dependent on just that one person performing the role. And what that results in, and we've seen this with practices that have sold their practices, that when they've got a system like PowerDiary that's managing everything, it's a saleable asset. Right?
Yeah.
And why not? You know, you spent all this time taking the risk, done that work, built a reputation, maybe built a team up, built a name and a presence. Well, you know, when it comes time to either retire or move on or do something different or change gears, why shouldn't there be, you know, for all that work, a saleable asset at the end of it? In every other business, there is, and people think about that. But in health, it's often sort of less at the forefront. And so we even see, you know, that kind of, you know, warms the heart when we see this. But when you see businesses that are listed for sale that we know are doing, you know, very well, and we'll see that they will mention, you know, using PowerDiary, you know, have PowerDiary, you know, well implemented and so forth. And you think, ah, that's exactly kind of what it is that we had in mind, is that it's something that, you know, a system that operates and therefore is saleable. A final driving thing, and this is, again, a very radical notion, Kathy, but we think clinicians and practice owners, you know, they should have time to spend on their passions, right? Whether it's personal or professional, that's up to you know, up to people. But we can get so caught up, I think, as clinicians in the day-to-day running and of practices and thinking about clients' well-being and thinking about our team's well-being and so forth, that often it's very easy to slip into that trap where every night is being consumed by catching up on work and
the new normal.
Exactly, the new normal, which I think is unhealthy. You know, and it's you know, sometimes that idea of, oh, working really hard and long hours and all the rest of it can be almost, people can wear it like a badge. But what we like to see is, in fact, people working less, I mean, still earning really well and perhaps making a lot more money than they were before, but working less and then having time, you know, and sometimes it's about writing a book that people, you know, want to do and they might share with that. It's come up in conversation somewhere and later on you see they've got that done. Or it could be, you know, something completely unrelated to work, but whatever they're passionate about, and being able to just know that, okay, leave work behind and do whatever it is that they love doing. So they're the kinds of things that really are central to, you know, the way that we think about development, the way we think about what the system should be there, you know, to do and provide. It's kind of like the measuring stick that we use, and it guides, yeah, our decision making.
Really cool. Love them. I get a sense alarmingly often that when business owners, allied health business owners, have practice management software, regardless of the flavour and the colour, that they don't fully optimise it. What are your thoughts on that?
I think you're spot on, and it's something that's been recently a topic of conversation internally as well, you know, with Powerdiary about looking at that kind of deep use of a system. So, and sometimes there's a risk, and we kind of take responsibility when this happens. We think we haven't done a good enough job of helping that person be aware of, you know, the features that are available that can assist them. And so, but it does happen. And I think, you know, what happened, you know, a few years ago with changing regulations and so forth, people realized, okay, you know, using Google Calendar is not necessarily compliant, right? Or using other systems, you know, other kind of maybe
homemade cloud-based platforms for client data.
Yeah, exactly. They were sort of like, okay, they realized, so they moved to formal practice management systems, but essentially just moved the limited functionality or the idea they had around that to their new system. So they just would end up using their new practice management software like a more secure version of Google or a more health compliant version of Google, Google Calendar, but and then never kind of explore beyond that. So we do definitely find that that's an issue, and what we do is actively reach out to people to offer them things like ongoing training, help them identify how a new feature works, and try and engage with people depending on where they're at, you know, and how confident and comfortable they're feeling. So it might be just bit by bit help them say, okay, what's the next thing that's important to you? Or what's the next thing that is sort of annoying you in your business that perhaps we can kind of help you with? And very often, you know, we've got the functionality there already in their account. You know, it's right to go. They just have to click, on and away it goes. And one of the things that we just, you know, we thought it would be popular, but we couldn't believe how well it took off, is we introduced a two-way SMS chat with clients, right? So people can open in Powerdiary an SMS chat window and just SMS, a client. So they can use a template or they can just free text. So this is separate to the appointment, confirmation reminders and so forth and the replies. But this is actually just a two-way chat, because what we found is that clinicians and administrative staff were spending lots of time like playing phone and so forth with their clients about changing appointments or an appointment's become available and so forth. So we built this thing and we didn't know like how well it would work. It took a lot of technology to get this so that it would live update when someone replies. But we built this, and this has been unbelievably, successful. Where the amount of SMSs that go back and forth are staggering. And it's funny, when we ask people for feedback and get their views on what features they're enjoying or what they're using, this SMS chat panel just comes back time and time again as something that kind of just saves time and means that they can just text and say, hey, it might even be like the clinicians running a few minutes late. They can text their client, hey, running 5 minutes late. Or they can send something to say, hey, don't forget to bring your GP mental health plan review in, can be simple things like that, but without having to kind of ring and then leave a message and the person calls back, and this sort of stuff like that. We're always on the lookout to see what's happening, what's sort of causing time, or what can we do that's going to make life easier, and then away we go.
I would have loved that feature when I had my private practice, because SMSs used to go to some other mobile somewhere in the building and we'd be trying to find that mobile, and we had two two separate parts of the conversation, in one in the software and one on some mobile, it was probably mine actually, was completely hopeless.
Yeah, exactly. And then there's no easy record of that either.
Yeah, there's no record of it.
Exactly. So you can't see it. And then it also means that one person is sort of trapped with that mobile. So it might be the practice manager, or it might be, you know, the primary clinician who is, you know, got this mobile, because now clients are used to texting via that number. So now it needs to be monitored. So with what we built, it means that it can actually be monitored, you know, from any of the clinicians that have their appropriate access levels, but also just can be done, you know, on the fly. And it means that it can be shared, or the people that need to can respond, but it's not like one person stuck with the phone.
Yeah. What sort of reports are available to business owners out of Power Diary, and do you have a sense of whether owners are using them?
We rebuilt the reporting function a couple of years ago, because even though at that time the utilization of reports was not as high as we would have liked it to be, and that's more, I think, an industry-wide thing, that there was not a lot of data being used and metrics being used to sort of benchmark or understand where people were up to. So we actually rebuilt the reports from the ground up. And we made, in addition to adding lots of reports, which I'll talk about some of the ones that I think personally are very cool from a clinician point of view, but, you know, what we did is also made sure that data could be manipulated in a way to extract the information they wanted. So, you know, we wanted to group by understand how many of a certain product or how many of a certain type of no-show. Is it early no-show, late no-show? You know, what sort of financial position is a practice in at a given time? What sort of debts do they have in terms of people owing them money? How on top of that are they? So we kind of, you know, built these reports that can do this, and can then, of course, be exported either as a PDF if people wanted a copy, but also to, say, Excel. So if there was other information that people wanted to send it to accountants or something else, they could do it that way too. But some of the reports that you know, we've put in, you know, over the years, which are great. So we look at there's one report that looks at client retention. And so it looks at what are the average number of consultation a clinician provides in the sort of an episode of care. And it's really interesting, because this can be used in a really nice way in terms of providing supervision as well as sort of helping clinicians with their performance. So what we had identified, say, in our practice, you know, in the early stages, and then, you know, we'd hear time and time again in talking to other practitioners that own practices, is that, you know, you would have this really varied performance of clinicians within the same practice, and all seem to be clinically well skilled, all seem to be nice, genuine type people, but there'd be these differences in performance. And often people would kind of, or practice owners would have like this vague kind of notion that is the case, but no hard evidence, and certainly not knowing where to look to help that clinician. And so we were thinking, you know, how do we solve this? And so we developed, you know, reports where you could actually look at a clinician's performance and say, you know, in terms of no-shows and late cancellations versus the number of people that attend their appointments, are there any differences with this clinician versus the clinic average? We could look at things like how effective a clinician may be in terms of engaging their clients. So they're able to look at this, you know, retention report, how long were clinicians retaining clients for and keeping them. And it's not that, one of the things we always sort of talk about, it's not that the data in itself necessarily says one thing or another, because it could be, it could mean different things, but it gives a starting point. So for instance, we've, you know, seen scenarios even in our own practice where you have a clinician that has a very low number of sessions per client. So the episodes of care are very small. Now, there'd be two theories. It could be that the person is incredibly effective, right, and gets everything done really quickly. Or it could be that people are kind of disengaging, and therefore we need to look at why. And so it gives, by having this data available, it enables, practice owners and supervisors to start the conversation, to know here is something that we can see. Let's explore that and discuss it together and try and identify what might be causing that. So if we, for instance, we're seeing in that scenario, hang on, they've got low number of appointments per episode of care, and we also see a sort of high dropout rate, so non-planned termination of the treatment, so perhaps a few no-shows and higher rates of that, we can then start to think from a supervision point of view, this likely is about an engagement issue or something in that area that we can then start having a conversation about and working on. So it's not just data for data's sake, but it's about having that information in a way that allows you to start those conversations. And usually, most of the time, because clinicians, are usually able to, reflect, and supervision's part of sort of everyone's thinking, are able to then, actually go through that and make some improvements and be able to see that it's actually making a difference. So we usually find it's very well received and gives structure to it. So it's, as you can tell, that's something sorts of things I really enjoy. We have all the other sorts of reports that you would also expect, so things, financial reports and GST reports and outstanding accounts and pretty much anything you can think of, how many SMSs, you're using, what different clinicians' breakdown of clients might be and who's providing what percentage of, concession services or, there's all that sort of stuff that helps people understand what's happening in their practice. But the things that really impact clinically, I also get very excited about.
Yeah. Look, yeah, I'm kind of with you. Data is only as good as it's used and analysed. And I have a bit of a hunch that maybe allied health business owners don't pull those reports because they're not sure what they mean and they're a little nervy about how to do the analysis, let alone how to use them and get the positive change from it as well. So I get a sense of a bit of angst and a little bit of procrastination and all of that sort of stuff. Am I out on a limb on that one?
No, I think you're smack on, Kathy. I think that they're definitely strong drivers of why people are sort of avoidant sometimes around this. And I think it's like anything. It's almost like what we say to our clients, is that once you kind of dive in and start and just have a look, it's definitely a lot less scary and, in fact, super helpful because we know that really, the drivers of anxiety and whatnot is really when you don't know what's happening. Once we sort of know what's happening, then, we usually feel less anxious and less worried about things. So having that oversight and being able to see this is what's working well, this is what isn't, then where to focus your energies and, what you need to do. So it's good. I also think it is changing too. I think as, there's more sort of reporting and auditing requirements industry-wide for, often for different funding bodies and so forth, that I think, slowly people are more and more getting used to this idea that reports and data are sort of a permanent way of life. And, it's sort of health has moved out of being a sort of cottage industry where it's an individual practitioner or a couple of practitioners just doing their own thing without any kind of external view. And I think, with that relief, I guess we often see people are relieved, when they can actually get data easily and it's less scary, hopefully, than what they originally thought.
Yeah, and start to get some mojo and confidence about using it.
Exactly.
Yeah. What can you tell us about upcoming developments in Power Diary? Your secrets. What's coming up by way of extra special features and things?
Well, we've got a whole bunch of them. We have the amount. I was actually trying to before this time we had together today. I was actually looking at how many updates and features we release per week, and it's sort of astronomical. there's almost never a period of time where development stops on Power Diary because we have some Australian staff and also staff based around the world, so that we've got development running caffeine constantly.
So 24/7. Yeah. 24/7.
Yeah. Just about. There's a few hours where we don't. It's, but other than that, it's 24/7, which is fantastic. We still do, of course, have 24-hour monitoring of the system, but in terms of development, it's always on the go. The things that we've sort of just finished this sort of rollout of this sort of system-wide interface update to make things a lot sort of quicker and easier and more kind of intuitive for people to use, so making each function sort of faster and easier. And we sort of literally count how many clicks it takes to perform any particular action. We're about to roll out our Tyro integration, so that at the moment PowerDiary has native integration with Medicare and DVA, so people can already submit claims and do all that automatically. And we also already have integration with a payment platform, so people can process credit cards and whatnot with PowerDiary. But a lot of people also, of course, are using Tyro, so which also allows people to process Medicare claims and run credit cards and any other payments that they sort of want. So we've been working on that with the Tyro team, and that's in fact the development is completed. It's just going through their testing processes. We've just actually today or tomorrow is going to we'll be releasing our PhysiTrack integration.
So, oh, good! Yeah. Great.
That's been great. It's good fun. We've sort of been talking to the PhysiTrack guys for a little while, and it's great to have that going. I've been doing lots of testing and going over it these last few days as well, just before we go into to formally launch that. And that's it'll be tonight overnight when we release that. So that's really exciting to have that out. And recently we released things like two-factor authentication and Euro partner status that we got upgraded to, and a whole bunch of other things. But in terms of what is coming up, some secrets I can let you in on, if you like, Kathy. We redeveloped a while ago our clinical notes so that people could customize their own note templates and they could write notes really easily. In fact, even have things like default content in notes, so that you could create or just copy the last note and edit it and body charts and so forth. But we've taken that concept of being able to design your own note templates, and we are turning it into the capacity to create your own online forms, so that integrate directly into the client's record, so that people could send out and design and send out, it might be outcome measures, it might be satisfaction surveys, it could be data collection on certain things, send those out directly to clients, have clients complete that and have that information then securely stored within the system, and have it all done sort of natively by PowerDiary. So there are some companies that they'll specialize in just one feature. There's a few companies out there that will have that they say, okay, we offer online forms, but what to access that, you typically have to have two subscriptions. You might have to have a subscription to your practice management software, and if all they have done is integrated with the online forms company, then now practices have got two systems to kind of manage, two systems to pay for, and the integration may not work necessarily as well as people would like. So whenever we look at this type of functionality, we sort of look at it and analyze, should we build it natively ourselves, or is it something that really is a specialist thing that should be done by someone else? So, for instance, our integration with Xero, when we look at that and say, well, Xero, there's a lot to accounting packages, they're quite complex and they have to, and we're really, we feel like we've really got our head around the practice management space. So we're always learning, of course, but, we feel like, okay, that's our area to try and then, replicate an accounting package, then that's probably not going to be the best thing and the best use of our sort of resources and the best thing for our clients. So things like online forms, though, we that's coming out, which we're super excited about. Room bookings, we have ways. Yeah, exactly.
Right. Stunning.
that's the reaction we've been getting, and it's that reaction that has driven us to decide we need to do something really special in this space. We have, like, as it stands now, there are, of course, ways of managing room bookings, but we think we can take it to a much sort of higher level. And listening to all the feedback, as I'm sure by your reaction there, you've been hearing this too, that it's a significant factor for people about, you know, how many rooms they've got, how much they're being booked up, if we just think about it from even a resource management point of view, and the day-to-day practicality of scheduling, can I fit this extra appointment in here? It's not my normal time. Is there a room available or not for me to have that? So we have a room bookings function that is going to go live. Couple of other things I'll let you in on. Some we haven't publicly disclosed yet, so you're getting a scoop here. But we have a notes template library. So we built this notes, customized notes function, but we realized that often people develop some really cool note templates that they actually would like to share with other people in their profession. And, you know, I think I heard on one of your podcasts, you're talking about that there can be cooperation, you know, that we don't often in health, we don't need to think about other health practitioners as competitors, but rather as, you know, we can cooperate. And we also sort of find this. And so what we've done is we've enabled that when people develop their templates, they can actually export those templates, and then we're sort of been building this library where people can contribute to the library and make it available then to other practitioners who use Power Diary to be able to access that library and say, what other ideas do people have, and be able to use the templates, modify them, and go ahead. So that's sort of it's about kind of bringing the collective brain power, if you like, and skills and expertise of this massive community that we've got in a way that helps, you know, everyone. So that's really good. We're also going to be expanding our session tracking functionality. So at the moment, we built some really good systems for tracking Medicare sessions, right? Because originally,
it's a nightmare,
isn't it?
Exactly. A sticky note. Gosh, it's
unreal, isn't it? You know, and Medicare is pretty, you know. They don't muck around if you don't get that sixth session letter and the review done by the
GP, it doesn't move.
Fourth for psychologist, you know, it's not a good thing. And you know, in the cases where people are audited, if that's not, they haven't done that, that can cause, you know, all sorts of issues. So a number of years ago, we realized that we built some these sort of session packs that actually count down the number of sessions that are available, so under that referral, so it actually tracks it and shows it in the appointment that this might be session 3 of, you know, 6, for instance. And also, we built a feature that allows you to see how many sessions someone's had in the current calendar year. Because I'm sure, as you're aware, with psychologists, that under the Medicare referral, you know, there's those things that are in play. But as the NDIS is sort of
I was waiting for that word to pop up. We've only got a few minutes left, and we've only just got to NDIS.
I have deliberately left it to the end. I thought, you know, Will, it's a pet topic for you that sometimes is, it's a tricky one, isn't it? The NDIS, the rollout of the
tricky is the word,
and I think it's I think no one's I think that feeling is a shared collective feeling, and so what we're really working on now is looking at now that the NDIS is sort of really growing and is building better ways of being able to track the NDIS system, or track the number of sessions and the amount of hours that are being used, because it's slightly, as I'm sure you're aware, it's a different approach. NDIS is looking at hours and how many have been allocated to a plan and so forth. So there is definitely some parallels with Medicare, but not exactly the same. So we are working on really trying to hone in on the key things there and making that experience just better for everyone who's out there providing NDIS and be able to, And then the second part of that, of course, is around the, which I'm sure you've come across, the invoicing component of Medicare.
Collapses with laughter of frustration. Oh, my goodness. It's just nightmarish, isn't it?
It is. And the complexity and the amount of admin time that people spend on it, and it's hugely important because it's, of course, all auditable and we need to be accountable to how this money is being spent. But we, you know, so we think that, you know, for us, that's an area that we think we can help with and really develop, you know, systems that kind of, you know, as neatly as possible link in to NDIS so that it makes the process smoother and hopefully people have less
angst and less terror.
Exactly.
And tears.
I know. It's I think, it's the way it is at the moment, isn't it? It's, and I think it's a universal kind of...
Wow. That all sounds really, really... that sounds great. It sounds amazing. It's great that... I loved hearing about how engaged you are with the community, with the Power Diary community, and that your improvements are constant and 24/7, but driven from your clients and the user experience.
I think it'd be very hard to do it any other way from the way that we see it because it's the people using Power Diary day to day, that have the best ideas often and tell us the things that aren't working well or things that they'd like changed. And really there's no way, like Power Diary just wouldn't be what it is today without all our sort of wonderful customers and users over the years, just, you know, providing us with that feedback and that insight and telling us what they think. And, it's fantastic. And it's exciting for us too, because it's all real. We think of it like it's alive, you know, there's this, you know, it's a living, breathing, creature that is everyone contributes to and helps, and it's wonderful.
Oh, I'd love to have you back as a guest, and we probably should give the NDIS a little bit more time for you to kind of keep us up to speed with what you're hearing from business owners and how Power Diary is evolving to meet their needs and integrating with, you know, potentially integrating with things like the NDIS, if that's even something you'd want to integrate with. We'll leave that decision somewhere as well. So thank you so, so much.
Having me, Kathy. It's been great to be part of your program.
Pleasure, but make sure we've got to get you back in the calendar for some updates.
Oh, I'd love to. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot, Damien.
Thank you. Bye.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode of the Private Practice Made Perfect podcast. For show notes and other resources, please visit practicemadeperfectpodcast.com. While you are there, you can subscribe for future episodes and continue your business adventure with me. And please be sure to share this and other episodes with your friends and colleagues.